Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. I served my Lutheran congregation for 29 years, but for the first 7 years, I was the assistant pastor to a wonderful senior pastor by the name of Roger Carlson. One day, Roger says to me, "Tom, let's go visit this certain couple." So we drive across town, and this couple had not been in church for 8 years because they were mad at Roger, and I thought, this could get interesting. We go into their living room, sit down, and Roger talks with the couple, an elderly couple, and he said, "Well, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, don't you think it's time to rededicate your lives to Christ and come back to church?" And they both said yes. He led them in a wonderful prayer. That couple was in church every Sunday till the day they died. Well, Roger retires, and I became the senior pastor. And a few years after that, I had a dream. And I told this to the whole church. I dreamt that I was standing in the pulpit preaching at Hope Lutheran, and I heard a loud roaring noise. And I went down, and I opened the window, and I looked out the window. A tornado's coming toward the church. So I turned to the congregation, "Let's go in the basement, or tornado is coming." The first two people to get up was this couple. And then other people got up to go in the basement. But then I as I'm going down the row, I see some people are just sitting there. And I said, "No, really, there's a tornado coming. Let's get up and go into the basement." And most people did. But other people just sat in church. And I woke up, and I think I know what that dream meant. I shared with the whole church. A lot of people at Hope Lutheran Church are fleeing to Christ for their salvation, but other people are just sitting in church. You remember when the Pharisees came to John the Baptist to get baptized? John the Baptist said, "You bunch of snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Today on this program, I want us to talk about two things. Number one, the wrath, the anger of God to come. It is coming. But more importantly, number two, how to be saved from the wrath of God. Would you take out your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 3, and let's pray first. Father, we pray for the people watching this program who are still under the wrath of God, and they would go to hell if they were to die right now. Oh Lord, bring them to Christ before it's too late. But those of us that are Christian, Lord, teach us now how to become evangelists and to go out and tell people how they can be saved from the wrath of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, how the wrath to come. And number two, then, how to be saved from it. Number one, the wrath to come. If you were to ask me what is the most important book of the Bible, I would say the book of Romans. It's the most systematic presentation of the Christian faith. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul puts all the Gentiles, the non-Jews, under the wrath of God because they went after false gods and idols. But then in chapter 2, Paul's Jewish, he goes after the Jews because even though they had the Ten Commandments and the special revelation of God, they broke the commandments in thought, word, and deed. So the Gentiles are damned in chapter 1 of Romans. The Jews are damned in chapter 2, so that in chapter 3, Paul the Apostle can bring in Jesus to save us from the wrath of God. Let me read to you what some scholars believe is the most important paragraph of the Bible. Here we go. Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21. "But now, apart from the law," apart from your law keeping and being good, "apart from the law, the righteousness of God," the way you're put right with God, "has been manifested, though it is witnessed by the law and the prophets," the Old Testament. "Even the righteousness of God," the way you're put right with God, "is through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore they are justified, that means declared not guilty, as a gift by His grace, that means God's unearned favor, through the redemption, through the price Jesus paid on the cross, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a, and here's the big word, propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He passed over sins previously committed, to demonstrate, I say, His righteousness at the present time, that God might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The word propitiation there is the way to be saved from the wrath of God. Let me define this. Propitiation is the offering of a gift to turn away wrath. Let me repeat that. Propitiation is the offering of a gift to turn away wrath. I mean, husbands, have you ever had to give your wife flowers to turn away her wrath? That's called propitiation. Here is the way we're saved from the wrath of God. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But God loved me so much that He sent His Son, and Jesus lived the perfect life we couldn't, so He could go to the cross to offer Himself, His own perfect life, as the sacrifice for our sins. When Jesus offered that gift, it turns away God's wrath from me, because the penalty for my sin is now accomplished. On Christ, though, not on me. That is what we mean by propitiation. There's a story that many years ago, there was a school of boys in the Virginia Hills. There was one classroom that was very rowdy. Well, the story goes that a young college graduate comes to the principal and says, you know, I like a challenge. I've heard of this class. I'd like to be their new teacher. Principal says, that's a pretty rough class. I'm not sure you can handle it. Well, I want to try. Principal says, okay. First day of school comes, the teacher walks into the room. Boys, I'm your new teacher. They start yelling and throwing things. But boys, I can't run this class. We can't learn anything unless we have rules. And I'll let you help me. What are some good rules that we are going to have in this class so that we can learn? One boy yelled out, no stealing. Teacher took the chalk. Number one, no stealing. Give me another one. Another boy, on time. Okay, number two, on time. Finally, they got 10 rules on the board. But boys, a rule isn't any good unless we can enforce it. What do we do to the boy that breaks one of these rules? And one boy yelled out, hit him on the back with the rod 10 times with his coat off. Teacher said, well, that's pretty strict. You think you can handle it? Oh, we can handle it. We can handle it. Teacher said, okay, class has begun. For a full week, there was order in the class. People were learning. Second week, there was order. But at the end of the second week, it was discovered that little Jim had stolen the lunch of Big Tom. And the teacher said, Jim, you know the rule. Come forward. This little boy comes to the front of this classroom holding his coat. And, well, Jim, you know the rule. So the little boy took off his coat. And he wasn't wearing a shirt, just a very thin body. Jim, why aren't you wearing your shirt? Well, I only have one shirt, and Mother is washing it today. And the teacher knew how poor this boy was and thought, how can I do this? But he knew he had to do it to enforce order and law. So he put the little boy over his knee, and he took the rod and hit him once, hit him twice. And before the third stroke, Big Tom jumped up. And he said, teacher, what if I was to pay the rest of his whipping, if I took the rest of his whipping? Can we do that? The teacher said, well, if everyone has agreed, we can. They all agreed. Little Jim went to the side, Big Tom on over his knee, and the teacher took the switch and hit him for the rest of the, and on the 10th lash, the rod broke off in the teacher's hand, and the teacher put his head in his hands, and then he heard crying, and the teacher looked up, and here little Jim had put his arms around the neck of Big Tom, and he said, "I am the one who stole your lunch. But Tom, you took my whipping for me, and I will love you forever for that." The reason Christians love Jesus Christ is because I'm a sinner. I deserve all of the lashes of the whip. I deserve eternal hell. But Jesus went to the cross to pay for my debt, so the wrath of God now is turned away from me. Back in 1741, Jonathan Edwards, the Puritan preacher, preached the most famous sermon in American history called "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." This sermon helped start what was called the First Great Awakening, when thousands of people got saved. I'm going to read you just 3 minutes of his long sermon. Please don't let your mind wander. I want you to hear how they used to preach in colonial America. Jonathan Edwards to his congregation in Massachusetts on hell. "God's wrath is an everlasting wrath. It would be dreadful to suffer this fierceness and wrath of Almighty God one moment, but you must suffer it for all eternity. There will be no end to this exquisite, horrible misery. When you look forward, you shall see a long forever, a boundless duration before you, which will swallow up your thoughts and amaze your soul. And you will absolutely despair of ever having any deliverance, any end, any mitigation, any rest at all. You will know certainly that you must wear out long ages, millions and millions of ages, in wrestling and conflicting with this almighty vengeance of God. And then when you have done so, when so many ages have become actually spent by you in this manner, you will know that is all but a point to what remains, so that your punishment will indeed be infinite. Oh, who can express what the state of a soul is in such circumstances? How dreadful is the state of those that are daily and hourly in danger of this great wrath and misery. But this is the dismal case of every soul in this congregation who has not been born again. And there is reason to think that there are many in this congregation now hearing this discourse that will certainly be the objects of this very misery to all eternity. We know not who they are, or in what seats they sit, or what thoughts they now have. It may be that they are now at ease and hear all these things without much disturbance, and are now flattering themselves that they are not the persons, promising themselves that they will escape. And it should be a wonder if some that are now present should not be in hell in a very short time, even before this year is out. Those who are now in hell are past all hope. They are crying in extreme misery and despair. But here you are in the land of the living and in the house of God. You have an extraordinary opportunity to obtain salvation. What would not those poor, damned, hopeless souls give for one day's opportunity as you now enjoy? And now you have an extraordinary opportunity, a day wherein Christ has thrown open the door of mercy wide. He stands in calling and crying with a loud voice to poor sinners, a day wherein many are flocking to him and pressing into the kingdom of God. Many are daily coming from east, west, north, and south, many that were very lately in the same miserable condition that you are in. They are now in a happy state with their hearts filled with love to him who loved them and washed them from their sins in his own blood. They are rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. How awful it is to be left behind at such a day. You young men and young women, will you neglect this precious season which you now enjoy, when so many others of your age are renouncing all youthful vanities and flocking to Christ? And let everyone that is yet out of Christ and hanging over the pit of hell, whether they be old men and women, middle-aged young people or children, hearken to the loud calls of God's word and providence. Therefore, let everyone that is out of Christ now awake and fly from the wrath to come. The wrath of Almighty God is now undoubtedly hanging over a great part of this congregation. Let everyone fly out of Sodom. Haste and escape for your lives. Look not behind you. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. Is it any wonder that 50,000 people got saved during the First Great Awakening? Years ago, I read that sermon to my congregation at Hope Lutheran Church, And at the end of it, I said to them, how many of you think we need more preaching like that or less preaching like that? Almost every hand went up. We need more preaching like that. And why? Two reasons. Number one, there is a wrath to come. Watch TV for 5 minutes. Where anywhere on television does anybody think about the wrath to come? And the second reason we need to preach on this is people need to know how to escape from the wrath of God. And that's through faith in Christ alone. I mean, if you ever go to Europe, they have hundreds of churches all over Europe that are 1,000 years old. Big, huge, beautiful cathedrals. When you walk into a Middle Ages cathedral, often over the door is a big sculpture of the Last Judgment. Christ coming down in the clouds, sitting on the throne. The people on his right are smiling, being pulled up into heaven. The people on his left are crying, being pulled down into hell. And when you went into church every Sunday in the Middle Ages, that's what you saw going into church. But then you go into church, and there's a big cross up front reminding you that is the way we can be saved from the wrath of God by the payment Jesus made for our soul. So let me share with you some very wonderful verses. Romans 5, verse 9. Having been justified by Christ's blood, much more we will be saved from the wrath of God by him. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1, we wait for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Let me share one more thing. Years ago, I went on a mission trip to Asia. I went over a few days early to Nepal because I wanted to hike in the Himalayas. They lost my luggage, so I was stuck in Kathmandu, the capital, for 3 days. But I think it was the will of God to see Kathmandu for 3 days. The only Hindu kingdom on earth at that point, lots of just pagan temples. It was just sad to me. Well, I wanted to go sightseeing to a village near Kathmandu, so I paid the money and I joined the tour group, and I got on the bus. The bus takes off, and the guy up front with the microphone, today we go to see the blood sacrifices to the goddess Kali. And I went to the front of the bus. I'm sorry, I got on the wrong bus, and I did, but you know, it had taken off. Then I sat down thinking, maybe I'm supposed to see this. We went down into the valley. We got off the bus. We went to where the sacrifices were taking place, and the Hindus were cutting heads off of goats and chickens, mixing it with flowers, and then going up to this evil statue of Kali, the evil goddess you want to keep away from your children, and they were smearing the blood on the Kali statue. We got back in the bus, and now I'm sitting next to a lawyer young woman from New York. And we talked for a while, and she's a Catholic, and why are you here? I said, well, I'm a pastor on my way to a mission trip. Oh, really? Do you think our religion is superior to theirs? And I thought, hello, did you just see what I saw? Listen, we need to be very vocal. I think Hindus, all people, deep down know there's a God and I've offended him. But they need to know there's only one propitiation that works. It's not the blood of chickens or goats. It's the blood of Christ by which our sins are paid for on the cross. I have a Jewish doctor, wonderful man. And he has seen our TV show, and he says to me one day, you know, Tom, you and I believe just the same. And I had to be able to sleep that night, and I said, well, I believe you need to believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And he said, yeah, I know you do. I see your TV show. But can I give you a piece of homework? Between today and the next time you see this TV show, would you share with one person that Jesus is the way to be saved from the wrath of God? If you looked across the street tonight at 2 a.m. and you saw your neighbor's house was on fire, would you knock on the door? I bet you would. Well, your neighbor's house is on fire if they don't know Christ. Would you do this? Would you try to this week share one with one person that Christ is our only hope of propitiation? I'm going to close with this. I stumbled across a letter that I wrote way back in 1993. I had a lot of aunts and uncles. My dad came from a very large Catholic family, and they started to die. And I thought, I'm going to write them a letter. And so I got the addresses from my mom, and I'm not sure she was real happy I did this, but I did. And I wrote them this letter. Dear aunts and uncles, it's been a long time since I've seen my relatives, but you are often in my thoughts and prayers, so I thought I'd write. It's been 20 years now since my dad died, and now Aunt Joyce and Uncle Charlie. I'm a pastor now in Minneapolis. I have fond memories of you all. Enclosed, I'm sending what I give to people at my church, this little salvation booklet. This changed my life, and I hope you'll find it meaningful. As we all head toward eternity, it's good to know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, forgives the sins of those who trust him. If we don't see each other again, God be with you, and I hope we see each other in heaven. Your nephew, Tom. And it was kind of hard to send that letter, but I'm so glad I did, because they're all dead now, except for one of them. They're all dead. And I shared this too. I had COVID about a year ago. It was horrible. I wanted to die. I was praying for death. One night about 5, actually early morning, 5 a.m., I was wondering if I was going to die. And it came into my head to send a text to my relatives and some friends of mine, and I'm not sure where they're at with the Lord. They've heard me share Christ with them. Some of these people don't want to hear it again. And I have wondered, if I go into this loved one of mine or that, if I go into their deathbed, will I bring up Christ again? Because they've heard it. So it's caused me some consternation. I thought, let's do it one more time. And I wrote him a text. You know, I have COVID. I don't know if I'm going to live through this, but I want to see us all in heaven. Make sure you're trusting in Christ for your salvation. Make sure you're in a good Bible-preaching church. And it was really hard for me to push the send button. But I did. And I'm glad I did. We're only on earth once. Why not share the gospel? Some people will be offended and hate you, but if you're humble about it, push the send button. My asking of you is this. Would you share with one person this week, maybe a grandchild, a child, a friend at work, would you share with one person this week that you know you're a sinner, but that Jesus Christ has died on the cross to turn away God's wrath from you? Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, wouldn't it be better to talk to people about the love of God than about hell?
Well, we just heard a sermon on hell from Jonathan Edwards. It's not an either or, it's a both and. Mm-hmm. We preach the love of God, that's the way we're saved from propitiation, but we preach the wrath of God, that's a reality. There is a hell, and if we love people, we talk to them about hell. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've shared this a number of times. I used to be part of the ELCA liberal branch of Lutheranism. The head bishop told the Chicago newspaper, there may be a hell, but I think it's empty. Jonathan Edwards and none of the early Christian, no Lutheran until recent days would have said such a thing. Mm-hmm. She's the head of the church. And, you know, now and then I say to someone, when's the last time you heard a sermon on hell? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get the response, our pastor has never preached a sermon on hell. So we need to preach on hell because Jesus preached regularly on hell. There you go.
Many times in the Bible.
Yes, he did.
If God is love, why would he send anyone to hell?
Because he's also holy. Mm-hmm. And he's offering us Christ as our way to escape his wrath. And if you reject that, you get what you get. You know, some people say, well, my loving Jesus would never send anyone to hell. Have they read the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus says, depart from me, you wicked, into the eternal fire? Mm-hmm. That's Jesus that's sending people mm-hmm. to hell.
Mm-hmm. Fear him who can cast ye into hell.
That's what it says.
That's right.
Luke 12.
Does Jesus save us from God the Father's anger?
You know, we need to be careful about this. Some people think God the Father's mad at me, and Jesus comes down, dies on the cross, and makes things okay again. Not only is God the Father holy and angry at our sin, so is God the Son, Jesus Christ, so is God the Holy Spirit. So it's not like Jesus is the nice one and God the Father is the angry one. No, no, no. God, the one God in three persons, is angry at our sin, justifiably, but all three persons of the Trinity love us deeply, and Christ is the one who offers himself to placate not only the Father's wrath, but his own wrath toward our sins and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Does God ever punish Christians for their sins?
If we believe that Christ bore our punishment so that we wouldn't have to, I'm going to say no. A Christian never experiences the wrath of God. However, Hebrews chapter 12, we can experience his discipline. Mm-hmm. So God is, if I'm being disciplined for my sins, that's not because Christ didn't pay for my sins. He paid fully for them. I mean, he said it is finished on the cross. Mm-hmm. So my sins are paid for. I'm saved from the wrath of God. But I still may have to go through discipline, which is different.
Which can be beneficial.
Yes, and that's what Hebrews 12 says.
What salvation pamphlets do you recommend?
Yeah, well, what I sent to my aunts and uncles that I just preached about, mm-hmm. I sent them a little salvation pack, and I want to encourage people, go to crossway.org, crossway.org, and order a bunch of pamphlets. Here's one for kids on how to get to heaven. Here's one, 1 minute after you die.
That's interesting.
What happens? Here's one for Christmas. When you send out Christmas cards, mm-hmm. send out this little pamphlet, God in a Manger. So go to crossway.org, order a bunch of them for all kinds of occasions. Put them in your house. Put them in your wallet. Put them in your purse. Put them in your car. And, I mean, the older I get, the more I give these things out. So just go to crossway.org.
In other words, hand them out freely.
Yes.
All right.
I do.
What happened to Jonathan Edwards?
Yeah, so we just heard his Sinners in the Hands mm-hmm. of an Angry God sermon from the 1700s. Jonathan Edwards became the president of Princeton. Mm-hmm. You know, back then, Princeton, Yale, Harvard, they were Christian schools. Not anymore, but that's what happened to him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're just about time. Do you have any updates?
Well, just everybody, we thank you that you're praying for us and you're... the generous donations we've been getting. We are now adding more TV stations around the country. So if you'd like to support us, you'll see the address in a minute. Or if you want to see this show again or any of our shows for free, go to pastorstudy.org. All of our TV shows are there.
Thanks for joining us today. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever."
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.